recording has started.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Daniel. Well, good morning. Good morning. Boy, we have a wonderful Father, don't we? I don't know how anyone could listen to that song and just not be filled with joy. And I'm very blessed and thankful to be able to share God's Word this morning. And I'm very excited about our topic. You know, this year we've been focusing, our theme has been Fellowship is the Secret. What a great theme to have. And but before we could have fellowship, we had to be reconciled to God. And, you know, a price had to be paid to do that, to redeem us back to God. And so we're going to be looking at that process a little bit this morning, Jesus Christ, our substitute for sin and for the consequences of sin. You know, a lot of times when we get together, we read verses that we're familiar with, that we've read many times. And like Bob shared last Sunday, that's really a valuable process because we're building here. It's like building a brick wall. It's brick by brick. And every time we get together and we get into God's Word and we look at God's Word and we saturate our lives with God's Word, it changes us. It makes us more capable to walk in confidence and fulfill the calling that God has made for each one of us. So I hope that this morning really does mean a lot to you. We will be covering some verses that are pretty similar. But in any case, our key verse today is 2 Corinthians 5:21. And you can look at it in your Bible. We have it up on the screen this morning. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So for he, God, hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He never sinned. He always did the will of God. So the question kind of comes up, how could God make him sin when he lived a sinless life? Well, there's a really wonderful answer to that question. The answer is that this is more accurately understood that Jesus Christ was a sin offering. Jesus Christ was a sin offering. The New Living Translation for this verse says, "For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So the topic of my sharing this morning is Jesus Christ, our substitute for sin, our sin offering. So again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is righteousness? Well, you know, we know, for example, from the Bible tells me so. Many of us, most of us, a lot of us, got our foundation in God's Word through a class called Power for Abundant Living. And in the Bible tells me so, Dr. Werwell shared, "You are righteous now." He said, righteousness is the God-given justification whereby a person stands in the presence of God without any sense of, without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. So righteousness actually has two meanings. One, it means uprightness and has to do with having a new nature. It not only has the sense of being right, but seeing ourselves as God sees us, as being perfect and complete and walking in the perfection of Christ. That is how God sees us and how we must see ourselves. It's that uprightness. Jesus Christ provided a perfect redemption for us so that we could have an upright standing before God. But he not only did it in providing that upright standing, but he did it in providing a new nature. That's part of that uprightness. The other part, this word righteousness is also translated as justification. It means to be brought to up to a standard, to be made right. So first of all, let's focus on the first, for a minute, on the first meaning, uprightness, having to do with the new nature. Okay? So if you look at Ephesians 4:22 in your Bibles, or if you have them on your phone, wherever you like to have them, Ephesians 4:22. So again, this first meaning of uprightness has to do with a new nature. It's, and in Ephesians 4:22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, that's part of that uprightness. He made us holy as He is holy. And the New Living Translation says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when we think about Jesus Christ as our substitute for sin, we have to be aware and acknowledge that the old nature or the old man could also be thought of as the sin nature. Very important. Hence, that was the origin of sin consciousness. This is really huge. We not only deal with those times in our lives where we sin or we fail or we fall short and deal with the awareness of our failures and shortcomings, which many times can be quite painful, but we also then deal with the accusations and thoughts of condemnation by the evil one that came with the sin nature that was the result of the fall of Adam. So the evil one manipulated Adam not only to sin, but then overwhelmed him with accusations over that sin to the point Adam and Eve hid from God for fear of their mistake. Isn't that something? So he overwhelmed them with thoughts of sin, failure, inadequacy, unfitness, rejection, inferiority. And that is a huge part of that old man nature or sin nature that we must put off. Does that make sense? It's really a lot larger than just dealing with our own individual sin, but it's dealing with the sin nature that came with that whole package of the old man. So let's turn to Romans 7:14. This is really a wonderful section that Paul addresses this in his own life. And I think it really shows this whole concept very clearly. Romans 7:14. Paul wrote in Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for that what I would do, that I do I not, but what I hate, that do I. This huge conflict. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's that sin nature that's present. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Here's the answer. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That was the solution to that sin nature problem. To delight in the truth of God's word as it relates to the inward man that God has placed within us. This word righteousness we talked about is also translated justification. It means to be brought up to a standard, to be made right. Now, when we consider this, we realize that Jesus Christ is the example of the perfect man, the perfect human being that walked perfectly and uprightly and right before God. He's the example of how to have a relationship with the Father where we walk without sin consciousness, without condemnation. But this breastplate of justification is really an integral part of this. And I want to just read to you quickly. This is out of the Armor of Victory, Jan Majer's wonderful book, and the section called the Breastplate of Justification. So we're dealing with the other part of this, justification. Jan says, God has an immutable standard of moral and ethical justice that is unreachable by man's most gallant efforts. This righteousness could not be attained by keeping the law because no man born with a sin nature was able to keep the law. Jesus, who was born free from a sin nature, fulfilled every precept of the law. The justification that Jesus received can now be legally transferred to any person who believes on Him and makes Him Lord. His resurrection from the dead was overwhelming proof that the righteous requirements of God's law had been met. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose with Him, completely justified. He rose in order to justify us. That is part of the resurrection, that complete victory of the resurrection, to bring us up to God's standard. So now let's look at Romans 3:21 for a minute, just to get a little more insight on this justification. While you're turning there, Romans 3:21, Jan also said in this section, justification is a legal requirement in order for us to have access to God at any time. That's why this topic is so important in Fellowship as a Secret and continuing to develop that deep fellowship that we all crave. Every one of us here and on the conference call, we crave it. We recognize the significance of what we've been given, and we desire in the depth of our hearts to improve and to be more like Him and to represent Him greater and bigger in our lives. And God is the one that will bring that to pass as we build those bricks. We have been legally acquitted from blame, therefore we can come directly into God's presence with peace. This justification, this is still Jan speaking, this justification is the foundation for all the rights given to us in Christ. Without being legally acquitted, we could not have been redeemed, reconciled to God, sanctified, forgiven of our sins, or given any other privileges that now belong to us as sons of God. We have access to the throne room of God's grace. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no righteous. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Yeah. Hebrews 4:15, I'll just read this to you. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. What does that really mean? He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, it means he never did what was necessarily comfortable for him. He never did what was easier or in his best interest. He realized that the weight of mankind relied upon him trusting God, making the choice day by day and moment by moment to believe God, trust God, and do the will of God. And yet, in all of the hardship, all of the suffering, all of the sacrifice, he did what was best for us so that we could have our perfect standing in a true and vital and spiritual relationship with God. He was our perfect sin offering. And that's not all. This is really big. Are you ready? Jesus Christ knew through God's Word, the revelation of God's Word and His knowledge of the Scriptures, and His relationship with God, He knew that the value of what His life would mean to us as our substitute would be worth the ultimate sacrifice at all cost, the giving of His life. You want me to read that again? I want to read it again. Jesus Christ knew through God's Word and His relationship with God. Now realize and think for a minute as we do, imagine the relationship He had with the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This was the Creator that was speaking these words audibly. Wow. And the value of what His life would mean to us, to us. He's our perfect Savior. He's our perfect Lord. It would mean to us as our substitute would be worth the ultimate sacrifice at all costs, the giving of His life. That is love. That is who our Savior is. He lived every moment of His life as a living sacrifice, and then in the most brutal and horrifying death, He suffered beyond what we can imagine for all mankind. Wow. So I want to read a couple verses to you here. 1 John 2:2 says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Galatians 1:4, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Let's look at Romans 3:24 together. And then we have one more really wonderful section, and then we're going to wrap it up this morning, actually. Romans 3:24. "Being justified freely by His grace," so God justified us freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It took a Savior, people. We couldn't do it ourselves. "Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And I'll read to you, if Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then our last section we're going to look at this morning is Romans 5:12 through 19. So if you'll turn to Romans 5. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." See, we inherited that sin nature. We inherited it through Adam. But we have a new nature now that has been given to us through the finished work of Christ. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so gift." There's a difference between the one that sinned and the gift. And this gift and the difference is gigantic. "For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." You know, I'd like to just quickly read this to you in the New English Bible. Just sit back and enjoy this. This is really a wonderful rendition. Mark what follows. It starts, "It was through one man that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death pervaded the whole human race, inasmuch as all men have sinned. For sin was already in the world before there was law, though in the absence of law no reckoning is kept of sin. But death held sway from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned as Adam did, by disobeying a direct command. And Adam foreshadows the man who was to come. But God's act of grace is out of all proportion to Adam's wrongdoing. For if the wrongdoing of that one man brought death upon so many, its effect is vastly exceeded by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. And again, the gift of God is not to be compared in its effect with that one man's sin. For the judicial action following upon the one offense issued a verdict of condemnation. But the act of grace following upon so many misdeeds issued in a verdict of acquittal. For if by the wrongdoing of that one man death established its reign through a single sinner, much more shall those who receive in far greater measure God's grace and his gift of righteousness live and reign through the one man, Jesus Christ, who was our sin offering. It follows then that as the issue of one misdeed was condemnation for all men, so the issue of one just act is acquittal and life for all men. For as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous." Isn't that something? This is really interesting, just kind of in conclusion here. Notice that the words pertaining to Adam deal with sin, death, and condemnation. The contrast, the words on the side relating to Christ deal with grace, gift, life, righteousness, acquittal, or justification, as the King James Version. Not only does the believer regain all he lost in Adam, but he receives much more. The positive effects of the accomplishment of Christ vastly exceed the negative consequences of Adam's wrongdoing. Now, this is key. Jesus Christ did not just restore our relationship with the Creator. Jesus Christ gave us access to an amazing relationship with God by the sacrifice of his life and as an offering for sin that facilitated the new birth, which is incorruptible seed. Christ is in us, and we have an incorruptible inheritance. That's huge. When we look at ourselves, we should be thinking of ourselves as representing Christ. We should see ourselves as Christ.
Hi, Michael. Amen. I'm Jesus. What can I do for you?
Thank you, Jesus. That's how we should be seeing ourselves. We are Christ on this earth, folks. And our seed is incorruptible. It cannot be taken away. 1 Peter, I'll read this to you, 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter 1:4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And finally, Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Had the evil one known that we would be Christ walking on this earth with all the enablements, with the power of Christ, with the compassion and wisdom of Christ, and the relationship and connection to God our Father, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Big mistake in our benefit. So, Adam did not fall because of a lifestyle of disobedience, but rather it was a single act of disobedience that brought calamity upon all men. Similarly, Jesus Christ regained man's right standing before God by a single act of obedience. In conclusion, Jesus Christ was a sin offering for each of us, bringing us into perfect alignment and harmony with our Father to the end we can address God as our Abba Father, our Daddy Daddy. One thing that we want to strive forward towards is to increase that time we spend with Him in acknowledging Him and walking with Him. We live in a very busy and complicated world. Ephesians refers to it as the systematizing of error. And His goal, His strategic objective is to overwhelm so that we don't have the time or we don't feel we have the time to walk intimately moment by moment in relationship with Him. You know what? Jesus Christ carried our failures, our burdens, our shortcomings, our condemnation, our inadequacies, our disappointments, our fears, our guilt, our confusion, our lack. He carried our sorrow, our emptiness, our despair, our sickness, our stress, our anxiety, our depression, our incompleteness. He carried our selfishness and self-focus, our bondage, our broken lives, our lack of confidence, our isolation, our loneliness, and I could go on and on. But Jesus Christ was a sin offering for each of us, bringing us into perfect alignment and harmony with the Father, with joy unspeakable, wholeness, health, completeness, hope, a new life wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's take time this week as we prepare ourselves for an amazing weekend ahead to walk with greater confidence in God and ourselves as we live this new nature to the fullest. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, let us really walk in that newness of life, recognizing that we are Christ on this earth. We have everything that He had. We need to see ourselves like God sees us, as His intimate, loving, justified children. And that we walk so lovingly, provided by God and His Son, who was our substitute for sin, and that sin nature, that we walk in the fullness of Christ, who was our perfect sin offering. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great. Yeah.